Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Voices for Change 2.0, the only podcast that focuses on mental health while mixing in movies, music, books, sports, and pop culture. Here are your hosts, Rebecca and Joe Lombardo.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Voices for Change 2.0.
Hey there. Good morning. Thank you for joining us this lovely Saturday, the first Saturday of March. Thank goodness. Because you know what that means. Spring's right around the corner.
Yeah, you can be excited about March all you want, but
yeah, I know
it's my birth month, so I'm not the least bit excited about it at all. So
yeah, you're not exactly a fan. I know.
Definitely not.
Anybody who's read your book knows why, but
yeah, well, it's not even just about that. It's, you know, I think I started at 25. I started freaking out about my age and getting older, so
it's like I told you yesterday, age is nothing but a number. And
yeah, well, since our bodies are falling apart, the bigger that number gets, I'm not really all that excited about it. So
well, yeah, no, I know, you know, I was having to actually mention this to somebody on Twitter yesterday or today, where, you know, their birthday was coming up pretty soon too, and you know, I said, you know, you, again, age is just a number, and you're only as young as you feel, and I feel like a spry 80-year-old. So, you know, that's kind of where I'm at with the whole thing is, you know, yeah, you're only as good as you feel, but you also, you know, we both know you have to really take care of yourself and, you know, do the work, you know, get exercise and eat healthy and all that stuff, which is, it's a drag, you know, but sometimes it's what you have to do so that way you don't feel like a spry 80-year-old. You feel like a spry 42-year-old or a spry 25-year-old or a spry 63-year-old.
Okay. Yeah, well, unfortunately, we spent the last week, both of us, kind of laid up. So we're hoping that that's the last of that for this year and we can move forward and, you know, just overall feel better.
Yeah.
You know, we found out some things that, you know, some issues with some different foods that I was eating that, you know, affect my sensitivities that I have. So, you know, we just hope that if you're living in Michigan and you are listening and you are around anyone that got the nasty flu that's been going around, may God have mercy on your soul.
Yeah.
Because
it's brutal.
I mean, experience of my life.
And it's like a minor guerrilla force, you know, it just boom, rushes in, screws you up, and then rushes right back out, you know. And I mean, we were both violently ill for a couple of days, and it hits you out of nowhere.
Yep.
And you're laid up, and then it starts to go away, and you start to feel better. But just really rough, you know, just really, really rough. So
listen, on the positive side, I did want to mention my petition once again to instate a policy that high schools and colleges offer a mandatory mental health and mental illness awareness course. And it's, you know, my petition slowed down a little bit, not getting as many signatures as I was, but you can go to www.voices-for-change.net, and there is a page on there all set up for the petition. If you would sign it, we would be greatly appreciative.
Yes, please, please do.
Okay, so today we're talking to an advocate for mental health that I have gotten the pleasure of getting to know recently. She's a talented writer and has a video blog, what is now called either a vlogger or a YouTuber, whichever expression you want to use, go for it. Her video blog is on YouTube for the website healthyplace.com. Her vlog is really picking up steam. She's acquired quite a following with her really a no-nonsense approach to bipolar disorder. And we're just thrilled to have her on the show today. So please welcome Hannah Bloom.
Hi, good morning.
Hannah.
Good morning.
How are
Thanks
you
for
guys?
Joining us.
Yes,
we're
I'm
doing
so
pretty good.
Happy. I'm so grateful for this opportunity. I was like waiting like Santa Claus last night, you know, like waiting for Santa Claus for this moment. I like could not sleep, so I'm really excited.
Well, I do have a bowl full of jelly, so, you know, there's that.
Oh, my God.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Keep it going. I can handle it.
I am pretty terrible, but, told me a lot
you're
about
amazing.
You. Thank you. I'm looking forward to talking with you today, Hannah. I'm looking forward to it. You know, I watched one of your YouTube videos, and I was riveted. You know, you have a lot of really good things to say, and you know, kudos to you for getting your message out and being brave enough to put your message out there. And yay!
Thank you, Joe. No, thank you so much. I feel really lucky. I mean, the support I've gotten is just amazing. So thank you so much.
Before we, you know, dive right in, do you have any questions for us?
No. No, let's rock and roll.
Okay. We'll
Sweet.
Jump right in. So how old were you when you first realized that you might be experiencing issues with depression or anxiety or any mental health related issues?
I would say around 16 years old, teenage years for sure, right in the middle.
Okay.
And that's the worst possible
time.
Yeah,
right. Because the problem is that you don't know whether you're doing the normal teenage thing or if something is really going on, especially people around me didn't know. It's that phase, you know, that's what. But I noticed something was off. Everything was becoming more extreme and out of my control that I felt like my friends or anybody else around me the same age was going through.
It was all kind of overwhelming for you.
Yeah, it was overwhelming for me. I struggled academically my whole entire life. I was actually diagnosed with a learning disability as a child with no name. But they said that I had trouble focusing, that I was a wanderer, that my mind would go, I wasn't really paying attention. And that caused me to struggle academically, but you know, as you get older, the stress of school, preparing for college, and that triggered me into having these emotional extremes. I remember when I first got my license, I panicked and I failed the test and just completely went off the handle. So that, and you look back at it, it definitely wasn't a normal reaction.
Right.
So
was
I would
there
say
a history? Okay. Yeah, and that's, you know, that's the thing that we've kind of seen with a lot of people that we've talked to, and you know, Becca's story too is, you know, it always seems to start cropping up, you know, somewhere in your teenage years, you know. And,
yeah.
You know, I think that's, maybe it has to do with, you know, the physiological changes and puberty and all that kind of thing. You know, I'm not real sure. I haven't done the research into it, but it wouldn't be beyond the realm of possibility, I think, you know.
No, not at all. Not at all. It triggers those emotions. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, plus, you know, you got all the other stuff with high school, you know, oh, I've got a boyfriend, I've got a girlfriend, what have you.
Oh, I know. It's like so cliche.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was there a history of mental illness in your family, or were you blindsided by your diagnosis?
Okay, that's funny. Well, it's not funny, but I mean, it's interesting. Yeah. Whoops. Because.
Not funny, haha.
Yeah, not funny, haha, but it's interesting, I'll say. because there wasn't, mental health was not talked about in my family, not because it was something that people looked down upon. It was just not talked about. But when I got diagnosed, when I went to the mental hospital, things started making sense of relatives of mine, specifically my grandmother, who was in and out of my father's life and was very similar to me, but back and forth. She was from England. She would go. She left her children. She was an alcoholic. And when I got diagnosed, it started making sense. People started connecting relatives to it because people weren't, people didn't get treatment. So it's hard to say nobody was ever really specifically diagnosed. But talking to doctors, there was definitely my grandparents on both sides, one of each of my great-grandparents, there were symptoms and signs that were completely evident of bipolar disorder.
So things kind of started falling in line and making sense when you went back and looked at the history. And it's like, oh, so-and-so wasn't really eccentric. They were suffering from this.
Right, right. It clicked. It clicked because, you know, the doctors told my parents, well, you know, it came from someone. And my parents, luckily for me, very stable, like very stable and not emotional, like loving and great, but they don't get that deep thinking. So it's not them. And it just clicked, like the puzzle pieces came together of the things that were going on with my grandmother specifically. So, yeah, that's how they made the connection.
Okay.
Cool.
And have you been hospitalized for psychiatric reasons?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I definitely. When I, 2 years into college, I completely had a breakdown. I was around 19, closer to 20, maybe I want to say, and had left my home, went to college, had a great time, but things started, I started losing grip. And when I couldn't hold on to anything anymore, I completely lost it and had a complete breakdown, was taken home. Went to your regular hospital that you guys would go to if you had the flu.
Right.
From there, the next morning I woke up and it was off to a psychiatric ward. I was in voluntary place there. So I had no, I was taken into the custody of a judge. My parents were not allowed to know where I was going. It was scary.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we went through
at that time, but.
Yeah, you kind of not really knowing what's going on. So, and that's almost a little bit of a blessing, I think, in a way, when they've got you sedated like that. I mean, it sucks, but, you know, by the same token, you know, you're not having all these thought processes go through your head. I know when Beck was hospitalized last, which was a couple years ago now.
I would have paid money to have been sedated on that ambulance ride from the hospital to the mental institution because I bawled the entire time, just sobbed my eyes out. So
I think regardless, even if you don't have a mental health condition, if somebody, you know, they didn't tell me where I was going, and maybe, you know, Rebecca, I'm sure you went, everything's a blur. I think regardless if you're any age, you would have a freak out, you know, especially if you have more extremes. And you're exactly right. Let me tell you something. If I hadn't been sedated, Lord knows, there was a cop there. I mean, I was placed into the back of a police car. My dad and the biggest problem I had with the ride, let's say, to the mental hospital, it was 3 hours away from my home.
Oh,
me
see,
at the
that's
time,
rough.
Yeah, Yeah, I'm a selfless person. I've been like that my whole life. Well, sometimes, I mean, I can be very selfish, you know, take a lot of selfies and really be up on myself. But I'm a selfless person. The treatment of my parents and how they weren't allowed to call me or know where I was going made me feel punished. And I was put in the back of a cop car. I didn't know if I had stolen something. I felt very ashamed, but I'm glad I was sedated, of course, because Lord knows what would have happened. I mean, the hospital would probably no longer be there.
Yeah. You know, so, and that's the big difference, you know, and the big scary thing about it is, you know, if they're taking you, they could have at least put you in, you know, an ambulance to take you as opposed to a police car. I mean, a 3-hour ride in the back of a police car can't be comfortable.
No, or if they had simply, even though I was sedated, sat my father and I down and just explained it. It was so cold. It was so cold. The officer was so cold. That's the one thing I remember. She was so cold-hearted. I would save them a lot of time. You know, don't even get the ambulance. I'll sit in the back of the cop car, but could I just sit down and explain something to me and my family? Mm-hmm. But you know what? Blessing in disguise. You learn from your experiences, so that's why we're here now.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
True. Very true. Very true.
We are about 15 or so minutes in, so we're going to take our first break. And you will be listening to Tara Naomi, and her song is called You For Me.
Tell me I-
welcome back to Voices for Change 2.0. We're really glad to have you with us today. That was Tara Naomi and her song, You For Me. Let's get back together with our esteemed guest for this morning, Hannah Bloom. Hannah, we're going to jump right back into the questions with you and ask you, what was your initial experience when you came out and told people what you were dealing with mentally?
When I came out publicly to those around me or to my family and those close to me?
All of the above.
Or to everyone. All of the above.
To everyone. Mm-hmm.
It was a very interesting reaction. Nobody knew anything that had happened to me after I got out of the mental hospital. I was under the impression I slept it under the bed, and I just kept moving forward. And then a couple of years later, I decided to talk about it with my friends, and I got involved in the mental health community and started publicly speaking. The reaction was supportive. I would publicly speak about it, and people were more willing to come up to me after and say, this is something I went through, or my family, my brother, my sister. And it surprised me because I finally saw how many people had been touched by this. Now,
right.
Have I gotten really bad reactions from people? Oh, yeah. I live in the South, the deep, dirty South. I love it. But
mm-hmm.
I had been told, you know, that's demonizing, that kind of, you need to get, like, exercise. You need to go and seek treatment and find a different way to heal. Or that's not real. You're not a nut job. That can't be real. You'll never get a career. When I came out with the blog, when I decided I was 6 months away from my college graduation, and I decided to mm-hmm. come publicly, that's when people started showing their true colors, you know? They were like,
yeah.
It's going to ruin your chances of getting a date, of getting a stable career. You're going to ruin yourself.
Yeah.
But luckily, I don't listen to people like that, and I just kept moving forward. I take the negativity that I've received, because I've learned how to do this, the stigmatized comments people say to me, with a grain of salt, because I just know they mm-hmm. don't understand, and the amount of positive reaction, I just completely absorb that.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
That's what you have to do, really, you know.
We did want to acknowledge really quickly before we continue with the questions. We've got a couple of folks in our chat room on the Blog Talk page. We want to say shout out hello to those folks. Thanks for joining us in the chat room today. If you do want to join them, when you go to the Blog Talk page and you'll see the scrolling box of photos, underneath there is the chat room, and you can join in and talk with whoever's hanging out in there. So
yep.
We all say hello, and thanks again for joining us.
Yep. And if you have any questions while you're in the chat room there,
feel free to ask, and Scott will, our wonderful producer, will forward those questions on to us. So
yep, absolutely. So Hannah.
Yes.
So when you came out with your story and you decided to do your blog, that was right before you graduated college, you said.
Mm-hmm.
So how long have you been doing your blog now?
A little halfway to Hannah, my personal blog, is I've been doing it for a little bit over a year.
Okay.
I started, what's funny about that is that I started blogging years ago about style and fashion, but it wasn't anywhere near my passion, but I knew I wanted to write and do a blog. So it's kind of funny after the years went by that that's what I decided to do. So it was January of 2016 that I published Halfway to Hannah.
Okay.
Yep.
You know, it's funny. It's I've even seen some TV shows lately where it's sort of become the norm for anyone that's dealing with something or, you know, wants to get their story out, the first thing they do is start a blog. And there's been some jokes now, you know, I've seen on a couple of different shows that I watch where they say, you know, why don't you go start a blog or whatever. But I personally can't say enough about it. I think that it's an extremely valuable tool for all of us, not just for us personally, those of us that are writing our story, but for the people who are seeing the comparisons to their life within our stories. And I think that if you're on the fence about starting one, or if you've heard some stupid joke or whatever, just push that all aside, because it's really a very, very valuable tool. And I think, I mean, personally, I'd be lost without mine.
Me too, Rebecca, for real.
Yeah, so I definitely think that it's something that people should consider.
Yeah, you know, you're
absolutely.
In addition to your blog, you're now doing a video blog series for the website healthyplace.com. Mm-hmm. How did that come about? Approach them, or
so? Via social media, and I had the Halfway to Hannah Instagram and started building off of that, you know, following people, putting things up. The company contacted me, and I had been a follower of them, their quotes, the things I was seeing on Instagram. It really connected with me in my objective with mental health. So they contacted me, and we had conversations. And we just completely connected, and we were on the same thinking, and we just developed this relationship. And then the YouTube channel started with me, and it's been a great thing. And I'm so grateful to Healthy Place and that opportunity that they gave me, because it just reaches such a broad audience now. So it's great. That's how it happened, though. That's how it happened. Yeah, they contacted me, but you know, when you're on social media, you're connected in these relationships via online. I mean, utilizing, like you were saying, Rebecca, with the blog, my major and my degree is in media communication. The platforms, the mediated platforms that we, the education that I was getting in that pushed me to do the blog. Utilizing these types of platforms that we have to give the truth about mental health is just an incredible gift.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It really is. So, you know, go ahead.
No. I like to say so randomly. Just don't worry about it.
No, it's amazing. You know, I've been with Beck a long time. Listeners of this show know this, and you know, especially being with her through her journey and seeing the type of community that has really come together, and everybody rallies around everybody else, which is awesome. You don't see that anywhere else. And
no,
I really think that, you know, with the group on Twitter that we have, all the people that she's talked to, all the great guests that we've had on the show, like you,
mm-hmm.
there is a true sense of community, of oneness, you know. And I wanted to take a minute to acknowledge that, because, you know, right now with what's going on in our country, you know, everybody's afraid of what's going on with healthcare and everything. And to know that there are like-minded people that have your back, it gives you a sense of you know, it helps to be strong, you know, and yeah. These are really trying times, you know. So it's great that you're putting your strength out there and you know, showing others that they're not alone, you know, and that's our goal too. Others that they're not alone. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, we are a strong and colorful and powerful community. And I actually, mm-hmm. It's funny because this coming Monday, I talk about the environment and how it's affecting people with mental health. And I try to make it clear that, yeah, we're a powerful community and we're strong. We're not weak or anything like that. So the oneness, like you said, it's incredible. It's great. It's great. I love it. Love it all.
Absolutely. You know, when I first started trying to get my feet wet in the whole, you know, mental health community, I was, you know, afraid and I wasn't sure who I could trust. And, you know, eventually people just started to accept me and I mm-hmm. feel very accepted now by everyone, you know, especially on Twitter. You know, Facebook's kind of a different animal. You know,
trust me.
Since it's more personal.
Good and bad.
Yeah, you know, it's harder because people that have known you for 30 years now all of a sudden know you as you know, the girl that they used to know mm-hmm. was somebody different. So that, you know, Facebook's kind of, you know, it has its good moments and its bad moments. But I think Twitter as a whole, whenever you're speaking out about mental health, it's generally a very positive experience. So, What do you hope to accomplish with your YouTube series?
With my YouTube series, I want to spread, obviously, this message about mental health. I want to shed a different light on it. When I combined my education in media with my passion for mental health, and I saw a little bit of a gap where we don't have anybody to reach to that's in grabbing distance to say, we can do that. Like you, Rebecca, like you're a role mm-hmm. model in the sense that people can touch you and celebrities are great. But
yeah, right.
And all that, but they're out of distance and they get famous and that's when they reveal. Well, you and I, we're not doing it like that. And I wanted to be able through media to touch those people and be like, you're strong. You're not weak. Do not let stigma mold you into the person they want, like society wants you to become. I want people to know that they have a gift and it's a challenge, but don't ever let the stigma, like I said, diminish your, you know, your confidence. You're capable. You're an individual. I want to spread that message and just say, mm-hmm. no, don't, you should not be ashamed and come forward. And you have a community here. I just want people to hear my story and be like, wow, look at my flaws. I get insecurities. Guess what? I'm human. Yeah, I've got bipolar disorder. Like what? And this is what we're doing. I want to spread that kind of message and shed a more positive light on mental health.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, I think that's what, you know, a big part of why we started doing, you know, this show was to really focus more on the positive, you know, tell people about the negatives, you know, the obstacles that people have had to overcome, but at the same time, what, you know, the positive life that they've managed to achieve for themselves once they've overcome those obstacles. And that's really a big reason of why we're here and doing what we're doing, because we just, you know, we're all trying to fight this stigma thing and,
yeah,
you know, it's it's hanging on for dear life, and we just this is the only thing that we can do is just keep working at it and keep working at it.
Yeah, I want to say this. I know we're going to be going to another break pretty soon, but I want to get this off my chest really quick. My personal goal in us getting the word out, in you getting your word out, in everybody that is an activist in the mental health community, is for it to be one day where a person can have a conversation and you're told, well, you know, so-and-so has bipolar disorder, and the reaction to that being something similar to being told that so-and-so has, you know, diabetes or something other that is a common but manageable thing. You know, like, I've got diabetes, and for me, you know, it's, oh, I've got diabetes. Oh, well, I'm sorry. Hey, how's things going? All right, what are you doing this weekend? And, you know, the topic of conversation moves on. There's no stigma to it. It's accepted. It's recognized, and you feel bad for the person, but you're supportive, and you're also, you know, it's not an end of the world. Right.
It's not an end of the world situation.
Right. You know, so it'd be saying, oh, well, you know, so-and-so has bipolar disorder. Oh, that's terrible. I hope they're doing okay with it. I wonder if they're going to the movies this weekend with their significant other. You know, stuff like that. You know, I mean, that's where I want to see us get to.
We want to normalize it.
Yeah, normalize it. Exactly.
Yeah. Nice. Rebecca.
Thank you. Thank you. We are going to take one more quick break. We will be listening to Casey Lansdale with Living in the Moment.
Easy to get off track, easy to lose your way. In a world that makes you believe there's no time to waste, that you gotta have it all, better have it all, better not slow down. Looking ahead got me looking in circles. Life is a plan at first, seems hopeful. Worry that I won't make it like I want if time keeps flying by. But you gotta have faith, don't let it slip away. Don't let me in the world drive you crazy. Cause I got a feeling if we keep believing, oh, it matters in the right now. Forget about forever, your past's already chosen. Start living. You gotta have faith.
Welcome back to Voices for Change 2.0. I'm Joe. She's Rebecca. That nice lady over there is Hannah Bloom, and we're talking with her today about all things bipolar and mental health and vlogging and all sorts of craziness.
Yes.
And we actually have a caller today. So we are going to have our producer, Scott, bring him on in. It is someone that we all know and love. So, Rudy, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Rudy!
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
The podcast of mental health. I love him.
Yes. I told you I would call in. How dare you doubt me?
Never. I never doubt you.
Yes. So I just wanted to say is that I think I remember when the first vlog that I saw Hannah do for Healthy Place was like several months back. And just I've seen other Healthy Place vlogs, and it's usually just people talking into their webcam and whatever, good content. But I saw Hannah, and very colorful, very in your face, very well shot. And I said to myself, who said you can be this good? And just being blown away. Just being blown away. Yes. So I saw that and I was like, oh, I can do that. If I can be as good as Hannah Bloom someday.
You're damn right you can. Yes, you can. And you're getting there. And you're already there. Come on.
Okay. Well, you know, I just want to.
Go ahead, Rudy. I'm sorry.
Go on. I just wanted to say it's great to finally talk to you, Hannah.
Oh, I love it. No, and Rudy makes, like, he's been making these videos and such an inspiration to me. I love to hear that the vlogs also have helped people to use their creativity like Rudy does to do the videos and put their story out there with, like, a little bit of kick to it. You know, we're using all these media outlets, and it's great. I mean, Rudy gives a variety because he's a male, which is huge, because men really struggle struggle. Sorry, no, like that. I guess I'm a little bitter, you know, I'm still single, whatever. But no, I mean, in the sense of coming forward, there's that stigma with it. So Rudy is so powerful. I love it. And I appreciate all the support, of course.
Well, thank you. I just do them to impress you, so.
Oh, duh. Hey, golly. Jeez, I usually accept roses.
I think it works.
It does. Beyond.
No, but seriously, you've been a great supporter of me, so thank you.
Thank you, Rudy. Thank you for calling in. I really appreciate it.
Of course.
Thank you so much, Reese. It's good. Good hearing your voice again, bud. We'll have to have you on again soon.
We're really glad to hear from
you.
So,
you still got to have me on your wrestling podcast, so.
Oh, yeah. Well, did you hear the DDP show?
Yes, I actually did, but we'll talk about that later. I don't want to steal Hannah's thunder, so thank you.
Yeah, what's the deal, Rudy? What's the deal? It's H.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll do a yoga thing someday. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye. So we have another caller, and this gentleman's name is Mike, and he would like to talk to Hannah about what it's like to date when she reveals what she's got going on. So, Mike, are you with us?
Love it. Hi, Hannah. Listen, I'm listening to your show. And I'm wondering, what's it like for you once you tell, you know, you're dating and you tell the person that you have bipolar disorder?
That's a very good question, too, Mike. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Yeah, dating. I love that question. You know, so I am 27 years old and I do date and I'm on the dating apps. It's been very interesting in two ways. I will go on a date to be a therapist, to help somebody with what they're going through, which I'm not really a big fan of. Outside of that, it It's been interesting. I'm dating. I love meeting new people. It's great. But I do have a very strong guard up, because with the blog, with the fact that I know most likely that going into this date, that this person knows I have bipolar disorder, I have found myself automatically putting on the table that I am not a weak person and I'm not vulnerable and I can't be taken advantage of because of that, because that's happened in the past. Some guys enjoy it for reasons that are not good, you know, more of seeing my pictures and kind of this mystery behind it and asking me stigmatized things. It's been interesting, but it's going to take a very strong and confident person, I think, for me to get there with dating. And I'm just having fun right now, because that's all I can do. Love is a hard thing. Love is hard.
Do you find, Hannah, that people, do you find that people leave you after you've told them that you have bipolar disorder?
Well, in a previous relationship of mine, I did not come forward about my bipolar disorder. This was before I came out with the blog. I didn't come out until like about 8 months when I decided into the relationship, when I decided to start speaking publicly. So this person already knows my good character, you know, whatever. When
right.
I came forward and told them, that's when things changed. This person was insecure and saw it as a weakness for him to harp on. I was gaslighted for the next year. Everything I did was blamed on my mental illness. You know, accusing him of cheating, you're crazy. You're ruining our relationship. I find out days later, everything I said, the girl, the place, the logistics was true. And I had proof. But he gaslighted me. He manipulated me. So that's where I have to be very careful. You know, that's where I have to be very careful that not everything is blamed on it, and I can be manipulated into that. So, you know, it's, I wish he had just left me, to be honest.
Yeah, that would have made it easier. And yeah, I totally understand that. I could go on myself for quite some time for my saga before I met Joe. But Mike, thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah,
we really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bye-bye.
Have a great weekend, Mike.
And it's, you know, I'll be honest, I don't envy you, Hannah, in having to be dating out there. You know, people are crazy. You know?
Yeah, for real, people are crazy.
Yeah.
For real.
You know, people are, I mean, we watch here because we're, this is what we do. This is kind of our thing. We watch a lot of Judge Judy, of all things.
I watch a lot of Judge Judy.
Yeah.
He is subjected to a lot of Judge Judy.
Thank you for clarifying that, honey. I didn't want to say it, but she's right. And seeing all the different ways people break up and go through all this different stuff.
Putting each other on their phone plans and buying dogs together and cars together and just all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
We just end up looking at each other and going, thank God we're not in that anymore.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know,
right.
I know I speak for Beck when I say that we hope that you find somebody that treats you the way you really truly deserve to be treated, you know, because
I appreciate it.
You know, it's not easy, you know, and having a successful relationship rarely ever is easy, you know, but anything that's worth having and worth doing, you put the work in, you know, and
you'll find somebody.
Yeah.
I have no doubt about that whatsoever.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
yeah. Well, people don't like to be challenged. You know, people don't like to be challenged. And I'm a roller coaster ride. I'm out there. I'm the girl dancing around. You never know what you're going to get. So I understand that's difficult, but I don't follow that guideline of that mm-hmm. girl. And that's intimidating to some guys, I think, and they don't get it. But no, I've heard y'all's love story, and I'm going to find it. I'm a lover. I love, love, love it. I love it.
Yeah, well, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I'm a lucky guy. You know,
I really am.
Becca is an amazing woman, and you know, I know nobody has loved me the way she does, and nobody ever will.
Yeah, it's like I told you before, Hannah, when we were talking the other day. You know, that's the one thing that we both know that we're good at in life is being married to each other. So we're really grateful for that.
And let me tell you something, that is huge. Finding your soulmate today is such a beautiful thing, to have a companion that loves you for your good, and you can, you know, it looks at your, what we'll say in quotations, your flaws, and it's like, that's amazing. Like, I want my soulmate, I want the guy that's going to see me dancing ridiculously and look to the person beside him and go, she's out of control, man. But I freaking love that chick. Cannot live without her. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's what I need.
Oh, I do.
So I love that y'all found that.
Yeah, she is. There's little things that she does that just, they crack me up. And it's stuff that she doesn't do on purpose necessarily. It's just, some of her funny little quirks. So I'm like, I love that.
So, she's amazing. Right, I already know.
Thank you. I don't do good with compliments.
Oh, I do. I do. I like love
Let's
them. I absorb them too much. Okay. Sorry.
Let's get back to you, Hannah. What advice do you have for anyone that is being currently has, you know, recently been diagnosed or is going through the process of trying to be diagnosed with bipolar disorder? What would you say to that person?
I would say to that person that, first of all, welcome to the Bi Tribe, you know, a bipolar disorder, a mental health community, that you're not alone. What advice I would give is that the first step is you have to accept your condition as being real. I struggled with that myself, and I think that's the first thing. You doubt that, is it real, is it not? You try to learn everything you can, get involved in the mental health community. You'll see the different people. You'll see someone that looks and acts like you. You get to relate. Find where your emotion gives you power. Don't look at yourself like you're bad. Be willing to embrace that through different things, because you should. And the other thing is medications are huge and treatment is huge. I learned later on that I had to take control, in the sense I felt like I was being controlled. If I was too excited or too energetic, I'm sick. If I'm too depressed or not energetic, I'm sick. It's like Goldilocks. It's like, where's the medium?
Right. Where's the just right?
Right. Where's the just right? And my advice is, you do have to find that strength in you to be like, this is my life, and I decide what it looks like. You, doctors, therapists, everyone else, you can help me get there, but this is how I want to look. I walked into my doctor's office with a list. This is how I want to feel, and this is how I feel. This side, wanting to feel, is where we need to get. And
that's
what I would say, that do not ever give up on getting the treatment that makes you able to embrace that side of your mind and just completely.
That's awesome advice.
That's
all really, really great advice.
Yeah.
And I hope people take it to heart, because I personally could not have said it better myself. So well done. That was
great. especially like the walking in with a list of how you feel versus how you want to feel.
Right.
You know, having an active plan is key.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I was done. I was exhausted. You know, I thrive. I'm an energetic, out there person. And I didn't get why that had to be completely stripped of me. I didn't get why there was, like I said, with the Goldilocks thing. And the thing is that you feel weak. You feel like people have to tell you what you have to do, who you're going to be. That is not the case. You are in control. You are in control. You're not weak. This is what I want. How do we get there? Let's do this.
Right.
Right. Absolutely right.
That's awesome. Definitely awesome.
Thank you.
And unfortunately, we've come to the end of our time with you, and that makes us both very sad because this has been a great hour. We've really enjoyed talking to you and getting your perspective. And thank you to everyone that visited the chat room and that called in today. We are eternally grateful to you for that.
Yes, absolutely.
And Hannah, we hope maybe somewhere down the road we can have you back on the show again and get update your fans. Get an update on how things are going for you.
Thank you so much. I'm so grateful to y'all and everybody and all my supporters. I love you guys. I love everybody. And I love it. I love it. Thank you so much to everyone. I really appreciate it, Rebecca and Joe. This has been epic.
I'm so glad that you had a good time. So,
and we're happy to be epic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So,
that's a trending word.
If you don't mind, Hannah, just stay on the line for just a few minutes with us. And we're going to go out to Carly Robin Green, What Love Is All About.
Never.
Join us next week as Rebecca and Joe continue to battle the stigma of mental illness. Follow us on Twitter at Voices for Change RJ and on Facebook at Voices for Change 2.0.